like to commence with a familiar greeting, and that is give all honor, praise, and thanks to God the Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who have saw fit that once again this day I might stand before his little flock and by his spirit impart some of his truths that are found in his gospel. For truly he has turned the disobedient to the wisdom of the just. And as the scripture records, the just shall live by faith. Amen. There's a subject matter that I've thought about and pondered and went to the Lord on, and it is the subject of faith. You know, in the Galatian letter, the fifth chapter, the 27th verse, faith is said to be a fruit of the Spirit. And we also know that when we engage the scriptures and we read in the Old Testament, we'll see that faith and belief is interchangeable. Faith and trust is the same thing in God. It says Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. The scripture says Moses trusted God and he delivered the people out of bondage. The people that 430 years was in bondage in Egypt. And Moses believed, trusted God, and he delivered them. So as we see all throughout the scriptures, as Jesus told some unbelieving Pharisees, he said, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are there that testify of me. The scriptures are a thorough furniture and a testament of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. So may we understand that this faith under consideration has always been here, and it's, Jesus is said to be the author and finisher of a faith. I noticed that sometimes the faith that we have, we use it in the pronoun sense, where our Lord told someone, he said that when he was healing them, he said, your faith has made you whole. He told Peter, when he asked Peter to walk on the water, and Peter started doubting, he said, oh, ye of little faith. He also spoke and said that if you have the faith of a mustard seed, you can tell this mountain to be moved, and it will be moved. So you see this faith, which is the fruit of the Spirit, which each and every child of God has. And as I started studying on this subject, and I started reading and engaging it and using it in a practical sense in my life, I see that how God gets the glory is how we use our faith. The Bible said we are to walk by faith and not by sight. So this faith is an extensive subject, and it's spoken of throughout all the scriptures. And if the Lord be my sustainer, and I beg interest in the church prayer that y'all continue to pray for me as I stand before you, because I'd like to speak and give the definition as the scripture give the definition of faith. And then as those that have their scriptures handy, I'm going to read from the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews. And some call this the hall of faith. I just call it a man's and patriots of the scripture that had faith and used it properly to the glory of God. See, God must be honored, you know. And the definition, as I began to read scripture more and more and engage in the scriptures more and more, I realized I was making a grave error that I believe some of us make, and that is to engage the scripture like we would if we read a regular book. This is no ordinary book. The Bible says that all scripture is given by the inspiration of God, and it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So this is our handbook. Contrary to what is popular out there in the world, this book is for the spiritual man. The natural man receiving not the things of God, neither can he know them, for they spiritually discerned. So when I was reading, in my younger days, when I read the scripture, I read it just as it's any book. I look for content, I look for context, and I try to, in turn, engage the scripture like I would a normal book. But then, as I seen that the scripture is written for the man of God, and that the scripture is a spiritual book, and that the scripture, that we have to make the spiritual application, because to thine be the glory, God gets all the glory. So when I started realizing, when he starts talking about faith, I said, I had to pump the brakes, if you will. I had to slow down and think about these things, and ponder upon these things. And when I did, I started seeing things that, you know, you could say for the first time. And he said, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. And when I said, I could just breathe right through that and say the evidence of things I've seen, and say that's the definition of faith, and let it go at that. But he said it's a substance. So substance is something tangible. So when I thought about, you know, in my spiritual walk, as I engage people out in the world and some of God's people that perish from lack of knowledge, that has the zeal of God but not according to knowledge, I see that we are always, and this will, saints, I want you to know that this will be with us until the Lord call us into glory, that we will always be a cell for our faith. We will always be under attack. Jesus said, no servant is greater than his master. As they prosecuted me, them that you will also. So once we understand that we do have something, that a substance, but how do we know what that substance is? Because it's spiritual. And this is why you can't explain miracles. And I submit to you that the new birth is a miracle. As spoken of in Ephesians chapter, second chapter, he said, you have he quickened who was dead in trespassing and sin. So the natural man, well, we believe it or not, if we have spiritual ears, if we can perceive the word that's written in this book, if we can give glory to God, if we love the brethren, we don't pass from death to life. Why? Because we love the brethren. If we can understand God's word and we seek to give him all honor and glory, may I submit to you that you have been born of that spirit. And as he said, it's the substance. This is why we have no reason to be out there debating. Debate is a sin according to the scripture. We don't have to, but when we profess our Christianity, when we seek to walk and to be that light and that salt, may we understand, saints, that this is a substance, and this comes from a new birth, from the miracle of the new birth, being born of the Spirit. As our Lord told Nicodemus in John, the third chapter, I believe he said that the Spirit bloweth where it listed, and thou hear the sound of it, but canst tell from whence it goeth, from where it comes. So is everyone born. The Spirit is sovereign, and thus we understand that it's the substance. So when we say, when he gives this definition that faith is the substance of things hoped for, then may we understand when we look into our life, when we examine ourselves as the scripture teaches us to thoroughly examine ourselves, look within ourselves, may we understand that we have that substance, that we have that new man, if you will, the inner man, that cannot sin as spoken of in 1 John. And he goes on and says that, and it's the evidence of things not seen. This is where we as saints get ourselves bogged down with the world. And the world is always asking them, where is thy God? You know, where is thy faith? James said in one part, show me thy works without thy faith, and I show you my works by my faith. So when you see that you have a love for the brethren, you have the charity that exceeds, and we are peculiar people. So when we walk by faith and not by sight, may we understand that this is the substance and the evidence that our walk, our daily walk and our daily worship for and serving God is evidence. And one thing I understand is like as I preach to more and more of God's people, that's different from any, the Primitive Baptist, different from any place I've ever been. And I believe this is what God's truth is preached in the Primitive Baptist, is that the songs we sing, again, they post deliverance. They deliverance songs. They like a person that understand that they've been delivered, and that their salvation, eternal salvation. It's a lot of timely dispensations and a lot of timely effects that we as saints, we're gonna have to walk, and we're gonna have to continue to please our God. And without faith, by the way, to go and further on this chapter, it said without faith it's impossible to please God. But may we understand that when we sing these songs of Zion, and as I sing them, sitting right there, and the more I sing them, the more I sing them, the more I mean, victory in Jesus, and all these salvation songs. This is somebody that understands that Jesus said it is finished on the cross, and he gave his righteous blood that we may have one day be with him in eternal glory. So I'm just so convinced that, you know, when you slow down and read these scriptures, it'll pretty much instruct us that how good our God is. He said, for by it, the elders obtained a good report. And I understand, I thought about this, that the elders under consideration, the patriarchs of the old scripture, the Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Moses, and the likes. But may we see that when we are leaders in our family, as I was, when I was being ordained in Denton, one of the requirements, let me see if I can turn that real quick, is in the First Timothy, the third chapter. So he said, this is a true saying. If a man desire the office of a bishop, he desire good work. He said, a bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach, not given to wine, no striker, not greedy or filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, not covetous, one that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? He said, not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil. But here's the seventh verse where I want to get it. He said, moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without, lest he fall into the reproach and the snares of the devil. You see, he must have a good report. And when we think about elders, may we consider, may we look at our leaders. And I'm just so impressed when I come and grateful to be amongst you that I see men that love the Lord and leading. And whenever I see families and husbands and wives and leaders, this is what we do. But we must be of a good report. We when we in church, everybody can look at us and say, well, yeah, they doing, but how's our life outside of church? How's we living our lives? How are we conducting ourselves? Paul said we ought to walk worthy of our vocation. That is our conversation, our lifestyle. There's a great change in us. And I see it in my own family that the way I was raised and outside the old Baptist and the people that think they know me the most can't even see the transformation or the change that the Lord is gradually making in my life and the blessings that he bestowed upon us because we choose to be obedient. We choose to learn him and to draw nigh to Jesus Christ. So when we see this, he said, for the elders obtain a good report. May it be said of us, you know, when we lead in our families. It's not just to the preacher or the elders, even though that was an instruction that in my ordination that we must be mindful of how we should be conducting ourselves and living, but this is permeates throughout the church. This permeates to each and every one of us, to the sisters and to the fathers and the mothers, how we lead our family, lead our lives, and how when folks look at us as old Baptists, they see that we are God-loving, God-fearing people. But he goes on and said, he said, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things are seen were not made of the things which do appear. Now I thought about this too, and likewise when I said that as man seemed to get more, think that he's starting to play God more and more, when he don't have the faith that God gives his children, then he starts taking the things that already appear and ascribing them to the things that are made. You see, when you look into as far as the eye can see, or you look through telescopes, or you look through the lens of the satellite, and you see more and more galaxies, more and more stars. And as man tried to go far as he can go in his limited life, may he find out that these stars didn't make these stars, and that they didn't birth these. God created this by the power of his might, by his omnipotent power. That God is a magnificent, mighty, almighty God, and that he created all these things. And that the things that we see that appear now, they had nothing to do with God's creation. God spoke all these things in Genesis. He spoke all these things in 6 days, and the seventh day he rested. May we understand that he said, by faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous. God testifying of his gift, and by it, he being dead yet speaking. And I thought upon that matter when I was younger. Like I say, in the faith, people will try to trick you up with all manner of questions. They said that, you know, why one of the questions I used to never could explain or answer because I had limited knowledge of the scripture is why God chose Abel's sacrifice over Cain's. But when you think, when the scripture says it's by faith, see, God has chosen people out of every nation, kindreds, and tongues before the foundation of the world. Faith is, long as Jesus Christ has been, faith has been. And how Abel knew the proper sacrifice is a mystery to me. But he knew, as Cain, as God had cursed the earth, Cain took from the earth to try to offer sacrifices, which wasn't pleasing to God. But Abel took the first of the rams, the first of his flock, and gave a blood sacrifice, pointing towards our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But how he knew this, maybe I thought upon this matter. I said, you know, being that his dad, Adam, was once walked with God and was close to God, I'm sure that he handed down some religious and some ways to follow God as close as he can. But when Adam fell, we all failed. All his posterity failed. So he was limited on. But how did Abel know what the proper sacrifice? But the Bible says by faith. It says that by faith Enoch was translated, that he should not see death. and was not found because God has translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. You see, without faith, it's impossible to please God. He said, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. This is something we can be ever mindful of, that when we come to the house of the Lord, we don't come, this is, as I said one time, I said 4 years, listen, we don't come for social issues. We come to serve and to worship and to praise our God. Like I said, we understand that salvation by grace. And the scripture says that not of yourself, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any should boast. There's no working that we've done. There's nothing that we did to contribute to this grace that God bestowed upon us. But we do understand that he's given us faith. And like I say, I heard, you know, in the pronoun sense where we say my faith, and you say your faith and our faith. Well, that it's still from God is the author and finisher of faith. So, and thus may we understand that faith is the fruit of the Spirit. And as it gave it in the first verse, it said, in the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. He said, but without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And that's, again, like I said, when we come before the Lord, and we come in faith, and if we didn't have this blessed assurance that we didn't believe that the God, that this immutable God, that the omniscient, all-powerful, all-knowing, all-seeing God, that all-loving God that loved us and is a rewarder of us, I mean, what would be the point of church? What would be the point if we didn't believe? But this is what faith does. Faith and belief is interchangeable. I believe, you believe, that our God, this is to all, that we come to honor him and to give him all honor and glory. And he said, by faith, Noah, being warned of God, things not seen, as yet moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Again, Noah, his wife, and his three sons and his three daughters, eight people, as the Bible says, saved the world. This faith is so important but it's God's faith. So we was never in, I don't believe we was never in jeopardy losing our eternal salvation, or because God had a plan. Man plan is, God has a plan, but he saved just eight people to populate the earth on the other side of the flood, the new world, and by faith. And we think about, again, I thought about this too, and I think, I say, the little things that God asked us to do by faith. I mean, and we live in a pretty comfortable environments and world with our luxuries that man has brought forth. But at the same time, can you imagine 40 years building an ark and can you imagine all the people that this thought the man was a lunatic, thought the man was just not right? I mean, a day of walking by faith is real strong, is a struggle to me. And this man believed God for 40 years and did everything that he said because he feared God. The Bible said the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. And when I reflect on these things, and sometimes I say, this is why the Bible said, why can someone hear unless the Lord sent a preacher? This is what I think sometimes when I think about some of the profound things we start thinking about when we start reading the scriptures, and then we start making comparisons, and we see that we lightweight in one sense compared to the way these guys didn't have air conditioning. They didn't have all the modern technology and things but one day with us, we struggle to walk by faith, but praise God, we have that faith. And this is why I say this is how we glorify God, is by using that faith, exercising that faith, and walking by faith, not by sight. Because every time I look out and walk by sight, I mean, you look at the things that you see physically, you like, that don't add up, that don't match. You know, me standing for you, that just don't match. But your faith and your love for the Lord and my love for the Lord brings us to the glory, to praise him. He says, he goes on and he says, and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. He said, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whether he went. again, could any one of us take that, the being uprooted, and the Lord telling us, drop everything, put down everything, and follow me? You know, Jesus said, take up your cross and follow me. And this is kind of indicative of that, but this is more physical, what Abraham had to do. When we spiritual, when we walk in the spirit, may we understand, and I'm learning this on a daily basis, every second, how important it is when you take up your cross and follow the Lord, because there's great opposition to him. You know, the Bible said he came into his own, and his own received him not, but many have received him. To him, he gave them power to become the sons of God. See, that's what our power is at. Our power is not just, you know, being hearers, but doers as well. We are practical people. And thus, being practical, may we understand that there's some walking and there's some living to do that honors God. And he goes on to say, not knowing where he went. So Abraham was uprooted and followed God because he believed God. And to him, it was counted to him for righteousness. And he goes on to say, by faith, he sojourned in a land promised as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, and heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which had foundation, whose builder and maker is God. Can I submit to you that Mount Zion, that what we are experiencing today, this is a New Testament, grace age, saints that we are today. Can I say, Abraham was promised this city. I believe the church, what we worship and now, is this city whose builder and maker is God. And I also, like I say, eternal salvation, the Lord has that awaits us. But it's a time that we can rejoice in this time continuous right now, in this time world where we can worship the Lord in spirit and truth, we can sing the songs of praises, we can rejoice every time someone presses into his visible militant kingdom here on earth. And may we see that Abraham and the patriots of the old, the Isaacs and the Jacobs, and that when prophet and the prophets that prophesied of this great city, this city that sit on the hill, this Zion, that's not the building maketh God, that we are experiencing it in this time, that we have a comfort that they look forward to. And this is what faith, this is what made them continue to be strong in everything they did. Because even though they couldn't tell if they was going to be a part of this, they knew that this was God's design. And they knew, for he goes on to say, through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithfully who had promised. And those that read the scripture, they know the story of Sarah being high up in age but God had promised Isaac. Isaac is the child of promise. But by faith, Sarah obtained to it, because she knew that naturally, and this is why I say it's miraculous, and everything that God touches in our lives, everything is a miracle. Because if you look at the natural, biological, ain't nobody having babies at 95, you know, or up in their 90s. But God, what is impossible with man is possible with God. God has a plan, and he's still spiritually seeing it throughout eternity. And he said, therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky, and the multitudes, and as the sand which is by the sea, sure, innumerable. God had made that promise to Abraham that he would multiply his seed, and his seed, and he would multiply it as the stars of the heaven, the sand by the seashore, and as the dust of the earth. And again, all the systems that man is devising, I marvel, you know, at their attempts to save souls, you know. And I always say it sarcastically, I can't even save the soul at the bottom of my shoe, so I sure can't say no. I sure can't say no man. So, but this puzzles me. All the systems, the Bible said this people that God has unto himself, this joint heir with Christ, is innumerable. As the stars of the sky. I mean, the dust of the earth, can you imagine trying to count the dust of the earth or the sand of the seashore? It is just innumerable, but God and his, all that he foreknew, he predestinated to be conformed to the image of his son. And predestinated means he predetermined our outcome. He didn't predetermine us every day when we fall out of line with him, but heaven and immortal glory, one day we will be with him, as all the saints that went before us are at home with our Lord and Savior, absent of the body, the presence of the Lord. And he goes on to say, in a multitude as the sand which is by the seashore, innumerable. And then he goes on to say, these all died in faith, not having received. You see, these promises were made, but they weren't made specifically to these men so they could see them, but they were made to these men for the glory of God. This was a revelation to these men that God revealed himself unto Abraham. He revealed himself unto Moses, and he revealed himself to his prophets by telling of who the scriptures is about. It's about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He said, these all died in faith, not having received the promise, but having seen them afar off and were persuaded of them. They was persuaded of them and embraced them. When I think about them being persuaded, that let me know that these men walked by faith in the midst of sometimes I believe, with the closed canon of the scripture that we have, the 66 book, we have empirical evidence. If we search the scriptures deeply enough, we have blessed assurances, we have hope as an anchor to the soul, we can search the scriptures, and we can test God with the scriptures. But these men was actually like they were forerunners, if you will. They were the forerunners. They walked by faith, and they looked afar off. They're looking for the city whose builder and maker is God. And he goes on to say, and embrace them and confess that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. And this is what we are. We're from a far country, as the scriptures say. Heaven is our country. But we are of the earth. We're on the earth, but we're not of the earth. We are spiritual beings. This is what faith does for us. Faith bridges that gap between the carnal and the spiritual. Faith allows us to walk by the Spirit. Faith allows us to do things to please God. Faith allows us to rest easy at night and take Jesus' yoke upon us and learn of him, for he's meek and lowly. Faith allows us to continue to learn and strive and for the blessings of God and to look forward to pleasing God. Because I've once heard it said that God is gives his grace freely, but his praises he has shared with no man. It's that faith that gives us this great desire and want to know more of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's this faith that we walk by. This is why I say the difference in faith, because God gives a measure of faith to each man as he see fit, severally as he see fit. So thus may we understand that we can sit dormant with our faith and we can be content with how things are, or we can really explore this great God of ours. We can look into him and desire more of him, and he will not withhold anything from us. And he says, for they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of the country from whence they came out, they might have had the opportunity to return. You see, they gave up on they would look at one, and this is something else we may be mindful of. I think it was in the book of James where he speaks of a man that walk in a precious law of liberty, and then turns and looks and forgets what manner of man he is, and looks into a glass, and he straightly forget what manner of man he is. He becomes something that he was worse than he were before he started. So when we see that once we follow after Jesus and his perfect law of liberty, may we understand that all, as Paul said when he was a Pharisaical Jew and high up, educated man under the law, he said he counted all that he knew as dung. That means nothing to him. He can't look back because he's looking forward. Jesus said a man put his hand to the plow and looking back is not fit for the kingdom. This is about being fit for the kingdom, but this is what I believe, that the faith that God gives us is the faith that sustains us, the faith that carries us throughout, and the faith that will give all glory and honor to God. And he said, and truly have mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have opportunity to have return. He said, but now they desire a better country. These men's looking forward. They had their hand on the plow looking forward. He said, that is in that heavenly, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called God, for he had prepared for them a city. And Jesus says that if a man ashamed of me before, if you shame me before a man, I'll be shamed before my Father. This is in a time where we are glad to call Jesus our Lord. We are grateful to call Jesus our Lord. We are joyous to call Jesus our Lord because we serve the right God. That's why I say, and I always, when I make a note, the note is I always encourage you Primitive Baptists that We're small in numbers, but God has a remnant unto itself that have not bowed their knees to Baal. And I believe that, and like I say, I've had the experience of being in other orders, and nothing has given me this peace that's coming into learning of this truth, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he says, by faith, Abraham, when he tried, offered up Isaac, and he had received the promises, offered up his only begotten son. You see, Abraham knew that if he did slay Isaac on that altar at that time, that God would raise him, because God made a promise to him. God made a promise to us. That he said all that he foreknew, he predestined to become formed to the image. All that he predestinated, he called. All that he called, he justified. And he said one day, all that he justified, he would glorify. These are promises that I stand on, that we old Baptists stand on. May we continue to stand on these promises, because he's a God and he cannot lie. There's some things that God can't do. Try to take it to the world and tell you, you know, God has some things he can't do. And they be like, God can do everything. My God can do everything. Well, he can't lie. He can't deny himself. You know, there's no shadow of turning, no valveness in him. They misunderstand that we rest in the blessed assurances of Jesus Christ. This is who we are. We have his promises. And by two immutable things, his word and his promise. So God made a promise to himself that he would save a people unto himself. And he said, account that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. He said, by faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshiped, leaning up on the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandments concerning his bones. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith, Moses, when he would come to years, refused to be called the sons of Pharaoh's daughters. Again, and when you think about this faith, it's going to be opportunities where the world, for whatever gifts they see in and whatever talents they see in, they're going to try to recruit you and try to bring you over to their side, which are, as they say in Star Wars, the dark side, you know. But by faith, we know that God ain't promised us this worldly glory, but he has promised us immortality. He has promised us that we will be joint heirs with Jesus Christ. And these are promises that we should latch on to and hold. And he said, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. How many of us can say that? That, you know, that we offered something to turn our back on the Lord, would we do it? I know, you know, old Baptists, I can't think of one that would. But this is because he esteemed the reproach of Christ greater. And that's what I say. This is what turns men and women and us alike, that if we don't walk by faith, we can be easily persuaded or distracted or confused, because what happens is, he said, he esteemed the reproaches of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, because the reproaches of Christ, as I said earlier, there's something that we got to expect. Jesus said, no servant is greater than his master. So they persecuted me, them, you will. We got to get out of this notion that we just going to get through this life without trials and tribulations. They're going to come. But we got faith, because we take it to God. We trust in our Lord and Savior. And this is what a timely deliverance is at. This is why we sing new songs of Zion. We have new names written. And everything, when people look at everything, they always try to put a eternal ramification as glorified. But they don't understand that some of these songs that I sing with the old Baptists now, these are new songs to me. These are songs of victory. These are songs of God praising, God honoring songs. These are new to my heart, new to my mind. These are non-secular songs. These are all God honoring songs, and these are what the new songs come to. And he said, by faith, he said, so when Christ is persecuted, and then what will we do? Will we lay down our cross and quit following him, as you saw some of the disciples did, you know, and the Gospels, as he started out feeding them with and showing them all the physical manifestation. But when it came time to go a little further, climb the mountains to come up to him, they waned. They got smaller and smaller. He said, but he said, the treasures of Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. He said, for by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as dry land, which the Egyptians are saying to do were drowned. And I'm gonna stop right there, but I just want to reiterate and to just thank the brethren in the church for allowing me to stand before you and to share our faith that the Lord has given us, that sustains us, that promotes him. And once again, the definition, the faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is the fruit of the Spirit. There's a ninefold fruit of the Spirit spoken of in the Galatian letter, and faith is said to be one of them. Jesus said to be the author and finisher of our faith. So it's the scripture, and you as you engage it, you see that Apostle Paul, at times he called it my gospel when he's speaking to the church. But it's, when he say my gospel, he means my God, my Lord and Savior gospel. I thank you for your kind attention.